This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV? Presented by our friends at Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician. Check them out at cropmetcalf.com. All right, joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, as he does every Wednesday at this time, the president of baseball ops, general manager of the Washington Nationals, Mike Rizzo. We go in the clubhouse, Mike Rizzo, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank. Unexpectedly different. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
So, Mike, let me hear what you would say about these wacky theories, and maybe I shouldn't have led the witness with wacky theories. You guys are 24-10 in your last 34, in that stretch, which dates back to late May.
I think it's May 24th.
Best record in baseball since then, playing over 700 ball. Some people have said, well, this kind of coincides with the manager, Davey, going nuts and getting ejected in that one game. Somebody else said that it had something to do with music being changed. What do you attribute the success to?
I just think that health has a lot to do with it. I think that we're playing better baseball. If I had to put my finger on one thing that's improved as far as performance on the field, our defense is a lot better now than it was about a month and a half ago. And that obviously goes hand in hand with starting pitching and relief pitching. The defense is better. The pitching is better. We're getting healthy bodies back. Our lineup is kind of back in full, and we're scoring a lot of runs and playing a lot of high end, exciting baseball.
I know it's every day is stressful, but this is what you live for. But how much better do you feel right now than you did, say, 6 weeks ago?
Much better. no question. We all live and die by wins and losses. It's the nature of the business, and it's no fun when you're playing, when you have a really good team and you're playing poorly. Now we've had really bad teams and played really bad, but that's expected. You know what I mean? And when your expectations and you see a team that's very, very talented and really really good and playing extremely poorly, that's no fun. Because you feel for the players because you know how good they are and you know how good they can be and what our internal expectations are, and when you're not meeting them, it's not a fun time in Nats land.
So Corbin, your number three starter, you guys paid him a lot of money in the offseason. He had three starts which were rough, and the last three he's been lights out. 1.29 ERA in 21 innings. What did he figure out or change, or was it just a matter of time? What happened there?
A couple of things. First of all, when you study pitchers, they have 32, 33 starts. You're going to have 10 excellent starts. You're going to have 10 poor starts, and it's that middle 10 starts that really makes and breaks your season. So, I think it's every starting pitcher is going to go through a little lull in their performance. Patrick's no different. But I think what Paul Menhard did along with Patrick was there was a couple of mechanical issues that they had to iron out. As Patrick landed, he was kind of landing opening up, and he couldn't command his fastball, and that's one of the keys for him as a starting pitcher. So they worked really hard and diligently to kind of fix that little mechanical delivery flaw, and you see him commanding his two seam fastball better, which sets up his array of breaking pitches and changeups. So credit to Paul Menhard and the coaching staff and to Patrick for not panicking and just kind of going about very businesslike, looking at film and fixing what became a flaw in his delivery.
Mike, I'll tell you who I love so far, but I love anybody that performs well for you because I'm a Nats fan. But I wasn't a huge, I didn't know much about Fernando Rodney when he brought him in, right? And I look at him, And because I'm just a Nats fan, I'm not so much a baseball fan. So I look at him, I go, he brings in this 42-year-old guy. What the hell's he doing? And then I watch him pump 96, 97.
And you saw his numbers in Oakland and maybe even in the minors.
Right. And I'm like, what? Well, we're grass. That's how bad it's got.
Right.
But then the guy comes in, Mike, and you guys are smart. That's why you guys do this. And his arm is so lively. He's got so much left in the tank, it appears to me. And then you look at, he's saved over 325 games or whatever it is, his career. Clearly been there, done that. This guy, I talked to somebody else, and he was like, yeah, I give him 2 weeks. No way. I think this is going to be a huge pickup for you guys.
Well, Fernando was, he came highly recommended by our scouts when we signed him after Oakland released him. And really the reason that I went and reached for him is the way he was pitching in AAA, he came highly recommended by Brad Holman and Randy Nohr, our AAA mm-hmm. staff over there. They said, because I was a little concerned about the walk rate. Fernando's always been a guy who could strike you out, but he would also have some walks. And that Fresno league, that Pacific Coast League in Fresno is no joke. It's a tough pitcher's league. Randy said, look past the amount of walks and look at how the appearances went. And he said, he's going to help you. And you're right when you say that this guy's been there and done that. He's a guy that comes in the end of games, not going to be intimidated by the role and by the situation. We need the guys that had some stuff that were going to pump strikes, that were not afraid of the moment. And he kind of checked off all three of those boxes. And he's a guy who's done it before. And he brings some leadership to that bullpen. Him and Inventors and Javi Garup has been a great acquisition for us. And that bullpen kind of solidified roles, kind of have some major league experience. And all three of those guys have pitched at the end of games and aren't going to be intimidated by the situation.
So, JP mentioned since May 24th, I think he got the best record in baseball. This is kind of what we all expected, right, coming out of spring training. And then, whatever, terrible start, blah, talked about it. I think you're winning at a 700 clip right now. All right, so maybe that's not sustainable, but I don't know, I don't know if you want to put a number on it, Mike, but, you could play 600 baseball the rest of the way, clearly. I don't think there's any doubt about it if you guys are healthy.
That'll get you to 91 wins, by the way, doing the math.
So what do we think we need? What do we think we need-ish?
Wild card, 91 wins, you're feeling probably pretty good.
What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, we need to win tonight. That's what we would need to win. That's as far as I'm going to look forward. Tonight's a big game. We want to win a series. We're looking at games. We're looking at series. We're looking at homestands. We're looking at road trips. That's kind of the escalation of how far I'm looking out into the future. Tonight's a big game. They're all big games. So you put yourself the energy you have to use to come from 12 games under 500 to a couple of games over 500 is a lot. And oftentimes when you get over that hump and you get to that peak of you get to 500, but you've expended so much energy that it's tough to sustain. So that's the challenge for this ball club now is to sustain the energy, sustain the fine play that they've been exhibiting right now, and continue to take this through. Five more games of the All-Star break. We're lucky we'll have a four-day break right after that. And after the All-Star break, we hit the ground running. We go to Philly. We go to, we have four important games with Atlanta. And then the second half of the season begins. So I think that if we look at it in those small increments and just really focus in on tonight's game, I think that'll be it'll behoove us in the long haul.
By the way, I didn't explain it very well at the beginning, and our producer, Matt Valdez, really wants some credit for it. Your walk-up music on this show changed on May 22nd, and the streak started on May 24th. So they're trying to attribute the success of the Nationals.
It's all because of us, Mike.
To changing your walk-up music to Chicago.
Jump on the bandwagon, fellas. There's a lot of room on it.
we're not jumping. We're driving it.
All right. Beautiful.
Hey, let me ask you, at the top you did mention the defense. And obviously the defense improves sometimes when guys get back. So, guys were hurt. But the outfield didn't change that much. What has gotten better about, the outfield defense in particular, I would say? Because is it maybe just a matter of experience? Because I remember early in the season, Robles was scuffling around a little bit. And it does seem improved.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. It's that, you know, you've got two really young outfielders that are trying to cut their teeth at the big league level, and Soto and Robles. So, you know, Robles is a dynamic, great range, great throwing arm. You know, he needed to work on his angles and his routes and that type of thing, which he has worked very, very hard to improve those things. Bobby Henley has worked with the outfielders very hard and for a long time. We've really employed we take as much infield before batting practice and before the gates open that people see than just about any team I've ever been with. It's something that when we were going poorly, we were playing such bad defense, we wanted to put into our everyday game plan, preparation plan, is to, you know, take a full infield, a full outfield, hit cutoff man, you know, do cutoffs and relays that really a lot of teams, including us, our teams of the past, just did not do. So I give credit to the coaching staff for kind of selling that to the players and for the players for embracing it and doing it with a smile on their face, knowing that we're going to have to improve to get where we wanted. So I think that all that comes into play, and you know, getting Rendon back at third and Turner back at shortstop, you know, is, you know, kind of solidified our defense, and Dozier swinging the bat much better allowing us to play him every day at second base. You know, he's a, you know, former Gold Glove defender at second base, and the two catchers defensively in Suzuki and Gomes have been great.
Joined by Mike Rizzo, Nats President of Baseball Operations, General Manager. We ask you about it, Anthony Rendon, if not every week, every other week, and you had some quotes that are out there on the Racing Presidents podcast. I kind of want to address that. But John Feinstein came on with us earlier, and he mentioned something, and I'm wondering if you can actually do this with Scott Boras. He's like, you have had many players and dealt with Scott Boras that were Boras clients for years. Can you go to him and believe his answer if you say, are you just going to take this ultimately to free agency?
Yeah, I think you have to take him for his word. I've done a lot of business with him and over the years, and you know, we've had we've done a lot of deals together, and I think that you know, the important thing to know is that the agents, they don't speak on their own behalf. They're speaking on the behalf of their clients. So, you know, you assume that he offers and discussions are taken to the player, and the player ultimately makes the final decision. And now agents and representatives can kind of guide him and give their opinions on if it's a good deal or not. So, you know, I think that these deals like all deals are have to be player driven, and I know that in the Steven Strasburg extension when we signed him, that was a player driven deal. He wanted to be here and told his agent to get the best deal you can for me here and get it done now, and you know, we ultimately came up with a extension contract. So I think that to answer your question, yes, I you know, when you know, the agents say stuff to me that I certainly take them at their word, because you know, there's repeat business that we have to do, and you know, we have to coincide with each other for years, and we've done it for about 25 years and signed a lot of good players together, and you know, Anthony would just be another of the long line of great players that we've signed from that company.
Right, because you know, you said if Anthony Rendon and Scott Boras don't know that we respect him by now, then they'll never know. So I took that as you guys are making some serious offers. And obviously they haven't accepted yet, but they should know where you're coming from.
Yeah, that respect, you know, that respect thing is something that, you know, kind of gets under my skin. Yeah, we respect him greatly. We drafted him, we signed him, we developed him, we brought him to the big leagues. We've watched him become an all-star caliber player, you know, for our team, and we've treated him and every other player that walks into that clubhouse with great respect and great admiration, and this is no different. So yeah, Anthony Rendon, I can guarantee you, knows that that Mike Rizzo and the Nationals respect him, love him, and want him back. want him to sign an extension and be back with the Nationals for the long term. And if his agent doesn't know that, then he's not paying attention. But he knows, and we've got, like I said, we've got a good rapport and a good, Anthony and I have a great relationship, always have, and always will.
Mike, Judy L. from Potomac. She's banking on the cycle tonight with Burke and Herbert Bank. Judy's already taken home a $100 gift card, but if any Washington baseball player hits for the cycle during tonight's game, she's also going to take home $100,000. That's courtesy of Burke and Herbert Bank. Enter for a chance to bank on the cycle during the next Wednesday's game. Details at thefandc.com/contest. I know Soto had like a homer and triple real early in the game
yesterday. We had a sweat.
Exactly.
All right.
Thank you, Mike.
Tonight. Keep it going.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Okay,
see you next week.
Yep.
Bye.
Yeah, I feel bad that Mike has to hold on for that. We could almost do that read when he's off. There's no question for it.
They sponsor a segment.
Yeah, they would maybe lead off.
Burke and Herbert Bank. And you know what? People should sign up for it. It's a free contest.
Yeah.
You get your details at thefandc.com/contest. But
oh,
free
I want
contest,
that sweat.
You get $100 if you're selected. And then if you have a player hit for the cycle, $100,000.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. That'd almost pay for a year at NYU.
It actually would pay for a year.
Yeah. Not two.
College is expensive.
That it is.
Yeah.
All right. You never got to more than like two stories on the same page.
Good
if
stuff.
I recall, the Bachelorette banged on the show.
Literally nobody called in to give us the scoop.
One person did, but JP had to flame about Dave and Buster's.
Oh, so we couldn't get to him. All right. So if they want to call back and give us the details on the Hannah admitting that she had sex in a windmill, sort of the details of that, I would love that. Otherwise, I'll give you an update on Peyton Manning and why he turned down Monday Night Football. Justin Bieber's been accused of degrading women. And we'll talk about Mike, the situation's sad birthday in prison.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Remember, you can take 106.7 The Fan anywhere, anytime with the radio.com app. It's fantastic. Download it today, and you can listen to us wherever you go. All right, let's get to those entertainment page stories you never touched on.
Well, I see, we wanted to get the update on The Bachelorette.
Okay.
So is it Hannah? Is she the star of the show? I think that's her name. She admitted, and it's kind of one of those rare things, and the host Chris Harrison talks about it. Through all these years, they kind of tiptoe and tap dance around like sex and religion.
They'll show like a door closing,
yeah, and you
that
allude
sort
to what's going
thing.
On. Well, this chick, she flat out, even though she's pretty religious, and I think that's her connection with some of these dudes, she just said, "Yeah, F it. We had sex in the windmill. Deal with it." That's my understanding of it, but I didn't watch it. But Caroline, who's a producer, she's taken over Lisa's job over at NBC Sports Washington. She apparently watches the show. She knows the lowdown. This is her debut on the Junks. Caroline, welcome.
Hi, Caroline.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the intro.
All right, so give us the scoop here. So Hannah's the main star of the show, right?
Yes.
She's uber religious or particularly religious, would you say?
I would not say so. I think that she's spiritual, and she does talk about God quite often, but not to the extent that Luke P, the villain, does in the show.
All right, so he's a villain, even though he's a super religious guy.
Nobody likes him.
Why does nobody,
nobody
like
likes him?
Him? Why?
He just says ridiculous things. He consistently tries to stir the pot on the show, and everyone is just sick of him, and he just says just crap that everyone gets annoyed at.
Is that the donk that jumped over the fence?
No, that's no.
Oh, okay.
That's
cool.
Sorry.
My bad. I'm botching it. This is why I'm not the expert.
Yeah, can you just sit there?
All right, so, Caroline, tell us what happened here. We heard like a little clip where guys are yelling at each other. The guy's upset because, you know, she banged one of the other guys.
Right.
That's what I'd imagine.
Is that so? He was pestering her, right? He wanted to know if she actually had sex with any of the other guys. Is that right?
Right. So Luke P., the villain, asked her, so let's talk about sex. Let's say you've had sex with one or multiple of these guys. I completely remove myself from this relationship.
Okay,
and she's
fair.
Like, well, you might want to do that because she said, I have had sex. And honestly, Jesus still loves me. And then she said, I bleeped in a windmill. And guess what? We did it twice.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
All right. So hold on. I love this. Now, I love that she's saying it, and I wish she could. I have more questions, but
Caroline didn't do it. She's just repeating what happened
understand.
On the show.
Caroline did. So I'm getting a sense of the way she said this sort of spitefully. She wasn't really serious about this Luke dude anyway, right? She was going to donk him off at some point anyway.
Yeah, I mean,
he had no chance.
She was really into him, but it was just confusing because the audience saw one thing in Luke and she saw a completely different side. And that was frustrating to not only the audience, but the guys on the show.
Right. By the way, did Luke P, I saw just this clip. I've not watched any of the show, but I clicked on the entertainment stories yesterday and I saw this story. Did Luke P look exactly like the other guy who she had sex with? I'm telling you, they looked identical.
No, I think Luke P. looks like Bryce Harper, and it makes me hate him even more.
Okay. Gotcha. I love it. So that's the thing. I always thought the skins, when they hit skins, it usually happened in the fantasy suite. They haven't even gotten to the fantasy suite. She's admitting that she hit skins with one of these dudes.
She was just having a makeout session, and it went further.
Way early into the show, right?
Yeah. So next week is hometowns. And they didn't even really tee up the hometowns. They teed up the following week, which is the fantasy suites. And it was a little bit of a spoiler because someone goes home in hometowns and it's not Luke because she's having the date with him in 2 weeks.
I thought he said he was walking off. So he didn't live up to his word if he said he was going to walk off the show if she had hooked up with another guy. But she said she hooked up with another guy and he didn't walk off the show.
Right. So he looks like he's about to get in the car, like
Tension
he's about
dollars.
To send him home. And
yeah.
She's like, you might want to go home because, and she tells him.
Right. And how did he react to it?
He was kind of like, excuse me. Like he didn't seem to have heard her right. And he was
couldn't
shocked.
Believe
he
it.
Didn't really even know how to respond.
He couldn't believe it. Was she drinking? Was she drunk when she said this?
I don't know. I mean, during the show, I think that she does drink quite a bit, and she seems to kind of get that way. But it's fun. It's all in good fun, and I really like her. I wasn't real cool on her when they were announced, as she was announced as the Bachelorette earlier. But now I really like her, and I thought it was real cool for her to say that, even though it's real taboo, and it's making a lot of people upset. I mean, the religious you know, crowd.
Not making me upset, making me freaking happy. I used to be watching this show
more. I think it's cool.
Yeah. All right, Caroline, thank you. Wonderful job. Wonderful debut.
No problem. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Okay, all right. That's Caroline. She's our digital content producer with NBC Sports Washington.
Very nice.
Excellent. So anytime we need a Bachelorette update, we can have her or Grant Paulson, apparently. Right? GP is a big Bachelorette mark.
Oh, Grant was fired up to come in. And,
oh, yeah? What did you want to say? What was his
take? He says he never misses an episode, but he said Caroline was killing it, so he was let her keep going.
Right. Yeah, she was great. All right, let me give you a couple other stories here. JP, this is what we've always thought, but they're saying the reason why Peyton turned down Monday Night Football, care to guess?
Eli Manning. He didn't want to kill him.
They had two giant games, didn't want to kill him. He also doesn't want to kill some of his old teammates.
Yeah.
They say, and you could get this. This is probably Eli's last year, maybe one more year. He's just going to let Eli finish and even let some of his guys in the league that he's still tight with finish. So he's not in that awkward position of having to criticize his brother or his friends. You know what? Pretty respectable.
He also doesn't have to go out and – not that that's a grind to do that job. I think it's a great job. But he doesn't
have to.
He's making money doing commercials. He sold all those Papa John's. He's not hurting for money.
Oh, no. It's not a money issue.
I thought that he was I thought that his DNA was the type of guy that he would want to do kind of like what Elway's done and get involved with the team and run the show. But maybe he'll go to to the TV route eventually? I don't know.
One guy who is going the TV route is Vince Carter. Now, he still, I believe, has still announced playing. He's going to play, but he's working for ESPN during the Vegas Summer League. So you can see that is kind of a tryout situation for him. It looks like there's five games going to be featured on ESPN over the next few days after July 4th, and Vince is going to be working them. So we'll see how Vince is as an analyst.
You know, Cakes usually does this. Vince Carter has been in the league for 20 years. How much money has he amassed in his career? Now, he's not getting these monster paydays like these guys are getting right now.
Well, he was getting those old star
for 10 years.
And he was part of that group that was getting old sneaker money. He's so old, he got old sneaker money.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say an NBA salary, $150 million. In shoe deals, at probably another $100 million.
I guess he wants to still be around the game.
Yeah. He still wants to play. And then he wants to talk about it after. It's his life. You know, you can imagine. The guy's been doing his whole life. All right, Valdez, here you can chime in on this. Rather than old Bachelorette episodes, I know you're hip to Mike the Situation's sad birthday in prison. So I don't even know how much you can really celebrate a birthday, but he's turning 37 July 4th. He's currently serving an 8-month sentence for tax evasion at the Otisville Federal Correction Institution, and he's scheduled to be released September 12th. But I guess his wife is going to be allowed to show up if they have a certain amount of visiting points. Is that what's going on?
Right. So Mike needs to be on good behavior in order to have his wife come by and throw him a party. And I just think it's funny that Mike is a huge fan of funfetti cake. And so that's the main thing that he wants
for
his party.
What is funfetti cake? I don't even know what that is.
It's you know, like the birthday cake that has all like the colors that are inside, like you see the pink and blue dots. You never heard of funfetti cake ever?
I've never heard of it. It must be something. Where did you grow up again?
Pasadena.
It must be a Pasadena.
Well, it's a worldwide thing. It's and it's delicious.
Yeah. Drabby, do you know what a funfetti cake is?
It's just your kid's birthday cake.
Yeah, it's a kid's birthday cake.
So Mike, a
bunch of sprinkle type stuff.
Yeah, so Mike has this affinity for funfetti cake. If you watch the Jersey Shore, like that's his kryptonite. And so he hasn't had it since he's been in jail. And so now he's butt-sized for a funfetti cake for his birthday.
Mm. But he got fat, right? He's not like six-pack anymore.
No, he's not on the juice.
By the way, Vince Carter, $180 million earnings. I mean, just there was just a stretch where he was making over $13 million every year.
When that was a big deal. Because that's like the mid-level exception or probably below
I'm looking
it.
Starting in, well, let's put it this way. He was over $10 million starting in 2002, and he never dipped below $10 million a year till 2013.
Now, Valdez came over here, and he's butt-sized to talk about Katy Perry. There are pictures of Katie. She looks like she's out on a beach somewhere, and she's in her bathing suit. I guess, is she getting married soon? Is that what's going on? And Valdez just wanted me to critique and just evaluate her.
Yeah, she's in Hawaii.
She looks good.
She looks good. He loves the jugs. He's all about the jugs. But then he's being a little catty. He thinks that she's probably not in wedding shape yet.
He's to tighten up. Tighten up shop a little bit.
I think she looks fantastic. That's Valdez over there objectifying her.
I saw a picture of Channing Tatum's ex-wife.
It's not me.
She didn't need to tighten up shop at all.
Is that Jenna Dewan? Is that who he
yes.
used to? Yeah. What's funny is I know her name, but I couldn't pick her out of a lineup.
Oh, I don't understand. When did one-piece bathing suits come back?
I don't know. She's wearing a one-piece, and it's weird because
I see it a lot.
Well, like a lot of that old, like mom jeans are like kind of popular now, right? Where girls.
The high waisted stuff.
The real high waisted stuff. I think like almost like old 60s bathing suits, I think are like in right now too, right? Whatever happened to underbutt and wearing less? What happened to all that?
Bikinis are silly.
Bikinis are silly, right? I don't know. Awad, you stood up like you know something.
I mean, I have noticed it. The high waist and. You still get a lot of underbutt with the new trends.
New shorts and stuff? Really?
I notice it.
What were the shorts we were talking about that it was tilting Valdez when people walked
the
by
Nike,
the gym?
The Nike combat shorts.
And those are just like teeny-weeny shorts?
Yeah. And the like, tiniest shorts in the world
their
that
whole
girls
privates
work out
are
in.
Falling out.
I don't know about that.
They're just
but
like Like it's I guess close to... they're like above mid thigh,
right?
Probably. Way above mid thigh,
yeah. Right?
They're the most tilting shorts in the world.
I know my daughter came down last Sunday. She came down in some shorts. I turned around immediately, marched her right back up. Said, "You're going. We were going to church," and she was wearing literally Daisy Duke jean shorts.
What?
They literally were jean shorts. Well, I mean, "What are you doing?"
Girls nowadays wear.
They don't even know. She was mortified that I told her to change.
They wear jean shorts where the pockets are longer than the shorts.
Yes, it was. I said,
"Like
wait,
if your shorts are beyond the
church.
Pocket, I guess they're long."
You can't wear that to church. And then we were going to lunch afterwards. You just can't do that. I mean, I'm at a pretty progressive church, you know, where you can wear whatever. But I'm drawing the line at legit 2019 Daisy Dukes.
But you didn't make her throw them away. So she can wear them the very next
day. You can
wear
them to the pool.
Okay.
It's fine. I
wear them to school like that in public
school.
Yeah, she wears them to school?
Probably. I'm not home. I don't know.
What would Mrs. B think about it?
My mother?
Yeah.
She's probably mortified.
Has she commented on them?
No. I don't know. But then she wore like a nice little mini skirt thing. Looked wonderful. Why not just put that on from the beginning? Why the Daisy Duke?
Because they're not as comfortable.
I don't know. The skirt thing looked fine. I want to say she had a piano recital later that day. I don't know. But whatever she was wearing, it was not. Right, but you're right. It is the kind of thing that girls wear to school on a daily basis, and they don't think anything of it.
Nope.
Yeah. Last but not least, let me see what my kicker is. I don't care about James Franco. Does anybody care about James Franco anymore? Is he dating Amber Heard? I don't even know who she is. I've just heard her name.
Johnny Depp's ex.
Matt Lauer, apparently, is, you know, he's got all this property everywhere. He is about to sell the couple's $44 million estate in the Hamptons. He's got some other properties that he's going to sell because apparently he's trying to pay off his wife and give her such a ridiculous amount of money that she will never talk about the scandal or her marriage to Matt Lauer. You find that believable?
Yes.
Yeah, I do, right? I think he's got – remember he had some property, was it in – like West Virginia or somewhere where there was some sort of they were giving him a hard time about the boundaries and like the trees he wanted
to cut
down.
He's in his 60s, right?
He's 61.
He's in his 60s. I don't know. Does he have any kids?
Yes. I believe okay. They have two kids together.
I mean, he just may just be like, look, just get this thing done.
What? She's gonna,
and he's got plenty enough money even if he gives up half or three quarters or whatever he does.
He's taking a couple of these big-ass properties, he's going to cash them in, and she's going to get a boatload of cash. So, there you go.
Should have married Matt Lauer, EB.
You're right. I would have had a much fancier life, that's
all
for
right,
sure.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. I give out that number now because we have a final pair of tickets to see Rodney Carrington August 3rd at the theater at MGM National Harbor. 10th caller will hook you up with those tickets, which are on sale now through Ticketmaster, courtesy of the theater at MGM National Harbor. Details at thefandc.com/contest. 10th caller, 800-636-1067, will hook you up with the tickets. Apropos that he plays Slam, wasn't planned, but wanted to bring up a couple of basketball things. So the big story is, where's Kawhi Leonard going to sign? And I saw this morning, supposedly has met with the Lakers and the Clippers. And he's given the Raptors the final meeting. Does that tell anything to you? Some people say that the Lakers are the favorite. Apparently Chris Carter has like some sort of inside source and says he's told by his sources that they're not the favorite, that the Clippers and Lakers are even. Seems like
the Raptors. They're on the outside.
Seems like that's
in.
Kind of the long shot. Remember, we had Greg Brady from Toronto on the show yesterday, and he was somebody who always said he felt like Kawhi was going to leave. He believes they have a greater chance, but he still had it at like 30%, 30 or 40% that he returned to Toronto.
I don't know. I think it's a good sign that he's wanting to meet with them last. You know,
actually having the meeting.
And yeah, he's actually having it. I mean, KD didn't do any of that. KD turned down the qualifying offer and signed literally the second he could.
Yeah, so we'll monitor that. My guess is by Friday we'll know. Maybe it'll be tonight. You know, he'll sign with the Lakers. Look, if he wants to win a championship, sign with the Lakers. You've got Anthony Davis, and you got LeBron. So you got a damn good chance at winning a championship. With the Wizards, though, you know, we kind of teased the Wizards that they brought in Ish Smith and then they signed Isaiah Thomas. I will say, I saw a clip from Shepard, who's the acting GM, president of basketball
Tommy
operations.
Shepard.
And he said, if you don't have money, you have opportunity. And I kind of like that attitude, and that Isaiah Thomas, not signing for money, but he's signing for the opportunity. And just a couple years ago, he's great, and he's probably got the athletic arrogance to think he can be great again.
Of all the signings, he's the one I like the most, because if he can get healthy, his upside is tremendous. Now, I know everyone wants us to just tank and be miserable and terrible for years and years and years and never, ever be good. But if he could be awesome, I'm all about it. Love it.
And I don't know if this means anything to you, but the Wizards have applied for a disabled player exception as it relates to John Wall. So they requested this.
Tell me about this. What does this mean? If a league-appointed
doctor deems it possible that he's going to miss the full year, and you would imagine any doctor would say, okay, tore your Achilles, you could miss the whole year. Washington then will be able to spend about $9 million on this season's roster at his discretion. I mean, they've been cash-strapped up against the cap because of Wall and Beal's contracts primarily, and then other guys like Mahimi and Dwight Howard.
$9 million don't go very far.
It doesn't go very far.
It's something.
Yeah, but at least, you know, you can fill out your roster.
They've already got 15 guys, I believe, currently under
roster. You're seeing guys now sign in, like, the $2 million range, which is amazing. We'd love to make $2 million, but Jeff Green, Jared Dudley, all these type of players are signing for, you know, $2 million.
Did I hear the Morris brothers are out there?
They are.
And then our guy that we had on, the ex-Wizards employee, is Jake Layman out there? He said the Wizards should sign Jake Layman.
Right. I think he's restricted, but I don't think the Blazers
are going to bring him back.
Yeah.
So why not? Let's throw a flyer on Jake Layman.
I mean, not that exciting to me. He was starting for the Blazers for a while this year, but he was kind of one of those starters just in name only, where they wanted stronger players off the bench.
Look, he could just be on your roster. I'm not saying he's going to be a star.
Yeah. He can fill out a roster.
Young player that can kind of do it all.
Sure.
I saw some people saying that if DeMarcus Cousins has no market, which Woj said on ESPN, that everybody wants him to pair up with Wall, why don't they just give him a little bit of money, bring him on the Wizards, find someone to take Dwight.
Problem is, that would have to be a multi-year deal.
And I think that...
I don't think so. You give him a one-year... Nobody wants him.
He's not going to play with Wall this year.
But I think the no-market thing is no market for the money that he wants. He may have a market when he settles for, you know... I think he played for $5 million this year. He may think, because I showed that I can play this year, I deserve, you know, more than $10 million.
Part of the reason why the market is not there for him is that they don't like his attitude, right? They don't like what he brings to the locker room.
Part of it, but I think the injuries. Like, he came off an Achilles. He did play this year, but then he got hurt again in the playoffs. And when he came back in the playoffs, you know, they thought he might have tore his Achilles again. Didn't. He came back in the NBA Finals, but
it
didn't look that great.
It was a quad issue.
Yeah, it was a quad, whatever.
Yeah, I think it was like a quad.
Injury issues and attitude. Yeah. And I think he wants a lot of money. Like, if you went a couple years ago, people were saying he was the best big man in the game.
Right. See what Achilles injuries will do to you?
EB, though, you're very fond of the Woods. And, of course, the Woods being sued because the employee who worked there drank afterwards and ended up dying. And Tiger's name has been removed from that lawsuit. But apparently there are more details. The bartender who worked at the Woods restaurant, you know, was excessively intoxicated by marijuana in addition to the alcohol before his fatal crash.
Right. But how's the bartender supposed to know? You don't know that he's high on weed. You have no idea. And then, you know, I guess part of the job of being a bartender is you're not really supposed to serve guys that are drunk, which is almost laughable in the face of it, because it's almost part of the job.
Now, and then he jumped in his Corvette, bombed, drinking marijuana, and he didn't have a seatbelt on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say he deserved it, but, yeah, I mean, just made a string of catastrophic decisions. And
what
I don't believe
level.
It was his first DUI, right? That's part of the deal, too. They knew he had a drinking problem.
Yes.
Right.
They were trying to say the restaurant and Tiger, you guys knew he had a drinking problem, and then you got him wasted.
Yeah.
And then you let him get in a car.
And it's the parents that are suing, right? They're the ones filing the lawsuit.
He had a blood alcohol level of 0.256.
Yeah, he was obliterated. But here's the thing I would also say. The parents knew he had a drinking problem, too. They maybe they could have done more. I would hold them more responsible. And he's a grown-ass man at that point, wasn't he? Wasn't he like 25 years old?
Yes.
Yeah.
So tomorrow's 4th of July. We're not going to be here. 4th of July fireworks. I actually surveyed my kids, and I felt proud of this. I asked, Isabella didn't respond, but Kelsey and Dylan, zippy interest in fireworks. And I felt like that was a win. Yeah, that was a life win.
Let's be honest. Fireworks.
I'm not into fireworks. Is anybody here into fireworks?
Valdez is.
I'm into it, but...
Trav, you're into fireworks?
I love fireworks.
So where will you go?
It's actually not the 4th of July until you see the fireworks spectacle.
So you're going to go in Aldi?
No, I'm not going to go anywhere. But if someone said, hey, there's going to be a big fireworks
like
show down the
some
street.
Some pond
but you're
or something
on like
that
the,
has fireworks.
Yeah, could you see it from your balcony, like third floor? Are you third floor? Second floor?
There's no floors. I own the whole thing, Rick.
Okay, sorry.
It's like a townhouse.
I don't know. I dropped you
well,
off at your garage.
Well, he'd have a third floor of his townhouse.
Right.
Yeah, but I have the first and second floor, too.
Okay. Sorry. On wherever you have a balcony.
Yes.
Can you see fireworks in some lake, like Lake Aldi?
I don't know. I don't remember last year. I'd probably have to go someplace, and it's not that important, but.
It's terrible. You go out there and get bit by mosquitoes. There's a million people. They're all hillbillies. It's just awful.
He thinks everybody's a hillbilly.
I know.
Like a million people on the mall.
There's so
you know. You know what's a hillbilly? Is taping a shipping thing to your golf bag.
That's why I didn't want to do it.
With pink tape.
I didn't know what I was doing.
No, that's PG County.
I didn't know what I was doing. I tell you. But now I should have attached it to it. I should have somehow attached it to the handle.
So you're going to be in Indianapolis for a couple days,
yeah.
Then Chicago for a few days, then you come back, and then you're going to someplace in New York?
I got to drive to Cornell.
To Ithaca.
Yeah, we got to do that.
That is nuts.
I have a busy next 8 or 9 days, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what I'm doing for the 4th, but the fireworks, that is not in the game plan for old JP.
Now, if you like them, watch them on TV.
Cookout. No fireworks needed.
Look how it's amazing. Fireworks stupid.
All right, got to get out of here. For EB, I'm JP. Have a fantastic 4th of July. Grandaddy, they're next on The Fan.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.